Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew in the 22nd chapter as we hear Jesus teaching on the greatest commandment. We hear from beginning with the 34th verse. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, and I will put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" For no one was able to give him an answer. And from that day, no one dare ask him any more questions. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I appreciate your warmth and hospitality to Pastor Ruth Dixon, who was here with you last week while I was away. I had been asked to preach for the homecoming service of a former church that I served in this, their centennial year. So celebrating 100 years, they were having a homecoming worship service, and they asked if I would come preach, and that was something that I felt like I should probably say yes to. So I was with them, but I knew that you were in roof-capable hands, and so I thank you for the warmth that you showed her. Now, I live in a house that is on a corner lot, and the side street happens to be a cul-de-sac. And on that cul-de-sac, there are five houses, and one of the houses was recently for sale on the market, and it sold, and the new residents of that house moved in last weekend. So now there's a new family on the block. And I've been wondering what to do. Do I make contact with the neighbors? I mean, they're strangers to me. And if I do make contact with them, how do I welcome them to the street, to the neighborhood? It's in this way that I come to Jesus' teaching on the greatest commandment this morning. Jesus is talking with the religious leaders, the ones who once again have a question for Jesus, who once again are trying to trap him, to create conflict, to get him to break the rules somehow. So the religious leaders ask Jesus to interpret the Torah, the law, to teach them, hoping that they will snag him somehow. Only Jesus rightly interprets the law, answering this almost impossible question. There are hundreds of commands, of laws given in the Torah, and so to ask Jesus to pick just one as the greatest seems like asking him to fail. For surely he will pick something And they can say, oh, this one's just as great, or this flaw over here seems greater than that, more important. And so they think that they will surely catch him this time. But Jesus gives them an impossibly right answer. He interprets the law correctly, telling them that the greatest commandment is this, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So that's the first and the greatest commandment. And there's a second one that's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it's on these two commands that all of the rest of the law and the teachings of the prophets hang. Jesus not only picks the greatest commandment, but he also finds the small details in it. Jesus emphasizes that the Torah and the law, rightly understood, are understood through the lens of love for God and love for neighbor. And the truth shouldn't be that difficult to understand if that's the lens you take to the law. However, the difficulty for us as humans is to embody that love for God and love for others. It's a challenge, and it's a command. One of our problems in interpreting this teaching of Jesus is that we lose sight of what is meant by the word love. In our cultural context, we've come to understand love as a strong emotion. Loving is stronger than liking. It's one of those things that you can choose on your Facebook responses to people's posts. You can like something, you can love it, you can do the angry face, you can do the laughing so hard you're crying face. There's all sorts of emotions that you can display as a response to others. But that's just it. It's giving a response to something external to ourselves. Here's another example. I love chocolate. It makes me happy. I love particular movies. They move me. They entertain me. I love a man. I call him my husband. He brings me joy. However, that love is a little different than the love that Jesus is talking about in this passage. He's not talking about something that's strictly emotional, nor is he talking about something that is passive, that you can just pass judgment on the way I pass judgment on chocolate and movies. The love that Jesus is referring to here is an active response by a faithful person, because love has already been shown to him or her by God. God's love is active. So, for example, God chooses Israel. God chooses a people. And God chooses to love that people. And through these people, God brings love to the world. Now, we know about that love through Jesus. Jesus conveyed that love in very concrete and real ways to us as he walked the earth, had disciples, taught them, and that has been passed on to us. The response to this kind of love, God's love, is to choose God back. The feelings and emotions part of love doesn't really come into play here. Loving is making a choice rather than some sort of
emotion that we feel.
I mean, it's possible that your emotions follow and that you feel deep love for God. Here's the catch, though. Our emotion isn't what Jesus is commanding in these commandments. What Jesus is asking is for actions of love, loving kindness displayed. It's in this way that it is possible for us to love even when we don't feel like it. Now, not uncommonly, we use the word love in church, and sometimes we don't do it in the most flattering of ways. Sometimes we use the word love as an excuse. We use it as an excuse that lets us take the path of least resistance rather than the path of excellence. Sometimes we use the word love as a way to scoot by telling truth when it's uncomfortable. So we do a little song and a little dance and sidestep and pass it off as love. But our fake love becomes evident when we don't share deep conversations with one another, where we can still walk away disagreeing, but loving one another. When we don't trust one another enough to have those conversations, our fake love is on display. You see, love shouldn't be easy for us or even easy on us. Love, like Jesus teaches about today, is demanding and risky. This command to love God with your whole self, with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, it takes everything. And this is the sort of love that leads Jesus into some uncomfortable situations. In fact, it gets him into some downright dangerous situations. And it is love that leads to Jesus being killed. It's important for us to remember, though, that none of us are Jesus. So our love also demands a measure of humility. Love, as taught by Jesus, demands that we strive with our whole selves to love God and to love our neighbors, to be excellent in what we think, in what we say, and in what we do. This commandment from God to love God and love neighbor is very important to us. We talk about it as the new commandment, as the one that we are yoked to. And we call it the new commandment because it echoes commandments given in the Torah. This commandment to love others is particularly found in Leviticus chapter 19. So what does Leviticus chapter 19 say about loving your neighbor? Well, verse 18 commands the people of Israel that they are to love their neighbor as themselves. But that's not all. You see, there's also Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34, which commands love, this time love that is shown to the alien, you know, the stranger. It says this: "The alien who resides with you shall be to you as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Leviticus 19 expands who our neighbors are from those who are known to include those who are also strangers.
to us. And these vast neighbors are those whom Jesus is referring to as neighbors in his teaching.
Now, I'm going to assume true of you, what is generally true of most communities around our country and of me, and that is that many of our neighbors, those who live nearby us, including the very next house over, are oftentimes strangers to us. I realized just how true this was one day this summer when there was a knock on my door. Turns out it was an FBI agent who was knocking on my door. So I stepped out to speak with the agent, and it turns out she was completing part of a background check on someone who lived next door. They were trying to assess the character of this person within the neighborhood, in addition to their qualifications at work. Now, this agent asked a series of questions, and I found myself saying, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know," to the vast majority of the questions. You see, I knew my neighbor's first name, but I didn't know her last name. I knew what her profession was in general, but I didn't know any of the details. I was asked if I thought she was a trustworthy person. And the best example I could give was, well, she watches a friend's child from time to time, so yeah, she's probably trustworthy. I mean, I'd want a trustworthy person to watch my kid. But I don't have firsthand experience with her trustworthiness. In general, our relation can be summed up as we exchange pleasantries when we're both out on the driveway at the same time. My neighbor, even though I know her name, is largely still a stranger to me. Let's bring it in a little closer yet. There are some in our congregation, maybe someone you're sitting next to today, who have admitted that they have had this similar experience of neighbor as stranger. And that's been particularly true when some have volunteered to be greeters. Being a greeter has given people an opportunity to find out that they don't always know their pew neighbors, those who we call church family. Being a greeter has also given people an opportunity to learn names and faces that go together, to meet people, and to learn a little bit about some of our church family members. Being a greeter has also given people an opportunity to practice loving through small actions, such as a handshake, a smile, a hug, an open door. These are small first steps, things that aren't very risky. I mean, we're all family here. But things that help us to build our confidence so that we can begin to reach out to those who are outside of our church. Which brings me back to my conundrum with my literal new neighbors. What if my neighbors don't look like me? What if my neighbors don't talk like me? What if my neighbors don't believe like me? What if I don't have a lot in common with my new neighbors? Now, I don't know how to answer all of these what-ifs, but this is what I do know. They're not an excuse
to not show love. Wholehearted love for God means coming to see other people as God sees them, as beloved. All people are objects of God's love, and anyone who loves God with their whole selves will therefore necessarily have to live into the challenge of loving others. Beginning next Sunday, we'll start a 3-week exploration of our new mission statement that has been adopted by our church council. The mission statement at Hollywood United Methodist Church tells us that we are a community of faith who is about the work of knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. That should ring familiar with Jesus' teachings today. Knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And you are to love your neighbors as yourselves. We must engage in this lifelong effort to abide by the commands of Jesus as we seek to be his disciples. And that's the calling that I'm glad that I have and that each of you have. Thanks be to God. Amen.